Good afternoon. College basketball season has finally arrived. I'm pleased to be joined by my good DC buddy and up-and-coming Def Pen sports writer, Stephen Kalail. We'll be chatting about the Champions Classic and some other college basketball thoughts. But Steve, how's it going?
Good, Sean. Great to hear from you. Champions Classic was pretty interesting for game one. I thought game two, maybe not as interesting, but good to see both all the Blue Bloods play yesterday.
Well, why don't we, college basketball really kicked off on Friday, but really from Friday through Monday, there was not a lot of good games going on, mostly blowouts and a lot of ranked teams, the Sisters of the Poor. And it was nice to finally get some of the top teams, one, going against each other, but also getting a chance to see a lot of the top freshmen who will be drafted in the top of the lottery next year. So why don't we just kind of kick things off, the most entertaining game and the first game, Duke-Michigan State. Duke ended up pulling it out at the end thanks to Grayson Allen's 37 points. But, you know, from your perspective, you know, I know you got to watch some of it, but what were some of your thoughts and analysis on either Duke or Michigan State?
Yeah, I'll start off with Duke. From the freshman perspective, Bagley looked great early on. It's unfortunate that he had that injury by getting hit by his own player. I think it was Javon Delorier, correct?
Yep.
And then, but I mean, he looked the part, and you know, starting that game off, it looked like he was going to just kind of take over at different points, but then the injury derailed him. I do find it interesting for Duke that they, with Duvall, because he really is a city-type point guard, and it doesn't really fit the mold of a typical Duke point guard that we've seen in the past. So it was interesting to see him out there. It's almost a weird fit, but Coach K is known as one of the best, so I see him working it out with Duvall. I also found it interesting, outside of the freshman standpoint, that some of the older guys stepped up. I mean, obviously Grayson had a big game. I don't think anyone expected him to have a game like that, but I mean he came out to play, and then even some of their bench guys I thought were strong. You know, Javon didn't play at all last year, and he got a fair amount of minutes, and Bolden got in a little bit too. So I think we'll see a little bit of depth more than I thought. But looking forward to seeing the rest of the freshman class. What were some of your thoughts that from the Duke side?
Well, going in, you know, I had a tweet saying that the players I was most interested in watching was Jaren Jackson from Michigan State, Kevin Knox, and then Trayvon Duvall. And you kind of hit on Duvall, who might be one of the worst shooters in college basketball. But given how athletic and explosive he is, as you said, he's, you know, definitely a different type of point guard that Duke has had in, you know, the last 10 to 15 years. He's probably one of the most athletic and explosive guards, kind of Russell Westbrook-like, which I think you got to see on the break. But he really gave Duke another dimension, both offensively and potentially defensively. Offensively, he pushed the ball. He got the ball out fast. He pushed it up, and he could either attack the rim or he could dish it out to Allen for an open shot. In the half-court set, Michigan State was playing off of him just because of his shot and how bad it is. You know, last year in high school, it's rare that you see a player completely changed his shot up and it gets even worse, but that was the case with Duvall. But really, he's so athletic and strong when he goes to the rim that he can still kind of get there when he wants to, which, you know, for Duke is a huge, huge advantage for them. It really lightens the pressure off of everybody else, and they didn't get him until the spring signing period. So obviously a big get for them, definitely a different type of player than they are used to, but one that could really be a difference maker for them. You know, I know you touched on Bagley getting hurt. I think he's a man amongst boys and is basically wasting, you know, a year of his career playing in college. He should be in the NBA right now, but he'll be dominating all year. And kind of touched on Duke's depth, which is not a word you usually here with them. As you said, Javon got in and he showed some athleticism and a spark, and Varankovic, or I don't even know how you pronounce his last name, but he looked like another Zubek or Plumlee wannabe. And then even Goldwire looked pretty decent off the bench coming in to play point guard, even though I think he was set to go to Eastern Kentucky. So it's definitely a different team than we've seen in the past 2 years with their size, but now they have size, two capable shooters and scorers in Allen and Trent, and just a real athletic point guard in Duvall. So, I mean, they look pretty good, obviously, this early in the season.
Yeah, I also like the play of Wendell Carter. I thought that he was a little bit overlooked coming into the season because, you know, you've got such a big name in Marvin Bagley and Gary Trent Jr., et cetera. But Wendell Carter came to play yesterday, too, and he showed up by having a couple key plays. I thought he showed his rebounding prowess yesterday as well. So I was impressed with him, and I liken Duke sometimes to Kentucky in the way that they've got a lot of freshman guys that they bring in every year now, and we'll see them mature as they get on through the season. And I think they'll have some early lumps this year.
You mentioned Bolden, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention him, but he played 9 minutes, 0 for 2. Didn't play much last year, even though he was one of the top one or two big guys coming out of high school. And I mean, I just think whoever was his inner circle or his advisors failed him big time in terms of having him go to Duke. He probably could have been in the NBA if he'd gone to another school or transferred, but I think he's just going to be, riding the pine behind Bagley and Carter. So not the best decision making on the part of the people that were around him. But what were your thoughts on Allen? Is it too early to already give him the player of the year?
I think it's a little too early, but you know, we'll see with Grayson Allen. I mean, he's had his history. I mean, he had his three different tripping incidents last year. You know, he's said all the right things during the off season and early in the season, saying that he's matured and he's trying to harness his emotions. But you know, I have a hard time believing that guy who had three different incidents in 1 year is completely reformed from his junior year to his senior year. So the jury's still out to me, not on just from a performance perspective, but on a behavior perspective for Grayson Allen. So, you know, one great game is great to start off the season against Michigan State, but there's plenty more for him to prove to me. So I think that, is he in the discussion for player of the year? It's premature.
Yeah. No, I mean, he played real well. It'll be interesting to see how he goes. I mean, he kind of, his sophomore year, really was a two-man team with him and Ingram, and he can kind of do whatever he wanted. And it was interesting to me, his sophomore year, he shot 58% of his shots from two, and 42% from three, where he made a pretty high percentage, I think 41%, 42%. And then last year kind of switched where he stopped driving and just pretty much shot a lot of threes, where 60% of his shots were threes, and he wasn't hitting those at a high rate. So it'll be interesting to see his mix this year. And then also, you kind of touched on it, behavior, but for me, I'd say more psychologically. I think it was, you know, probably tough coming off a sophomore year where Duke was good, but not a title contender, and he was the man and pretty much got to do whatever he wanted. And then last year, I think he was probably expecting that to continue, and now all of a sudden you have Jason Tatum, probably the most skilled freshman last year, and then you had Luke Kennard, who went from kind of a fifth man, sixth man to a lottery pick. So I think, you know, psychologically now he kind of is in a different place, but you know, I did see a few head snapbacks and some flops, so we'll see how things progress. But when you did your Big Ten preview article for Def Pen, you had Michigan State and Miles Bridges as a player of the year. What were your kind of your early thoughts on Michigan State? Obviously, they lost a hard fought game, but how do you kind of see them for the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, to speak to the game yesterday a bit, I thought Miles Bridges should have been a little bit more assertive in the first half. I mean,
yep.
I think he only
yep.
had three shot attempts, and he really needed to. I think he rectified that in the second half by taking more shots and being more assertive. But I think that as the year goes on, a guy like Miles Bridges is going to hopefully will start. Really taking off in early in games and starting to assert himself as the man from the get-go of those games. But overall, for Michigan State's outlook, I look at them as a Final Four team. I even though yesterday was an early setback, and the typical Michigan State team that Tom Izzo coaches is that they take their lumps early. They're not afraid to have a couple losses, but obviously by March they seem to. The mold together. They were Tom Izzo and Rick Pitino are two coaches that remind me of each other in the sense of they're not afraid to take a couple of losses early in their seasons to get their team to gel. And I know this sounds crazy, but I almost think that both of them don't mind a couple of losses. I think that they're okay with having a couple early on to as teaching points for their team. But I love the makeup of Michigan State's team. I think. When I think of a national champion, I always think of a team that has the perfect mix of veterans and freshmen. And with Miles Bridges coming back, obviously being a shock, and then you've got guys like Langford and Jackson in the mix, I really think that they're going to be the class of the Big Ten this year. Their biggest competitors are probably going to be Purdue and Minnesota, in my opinion, and you can always throw in a pesky Wisconsin, but Michigan State sets them up. What sets them apart is Miles Bridges. He truly is, to me, is the best player in college basketball. That's probably not a superstar freshman, and he's a lottery pick.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely started off slow and wasn't really involved aggressively at the beginning, and he definitely got things kicked into high gear in the second half, but would have liked to see him kind of take that into the first half as well. I think you're talking about their mix of kind of people that have been around the block, even if they're sophomores, but also man and Jaren Jackson obviously captured the eyes of the NBA scouts that were there. This guy is 6'10", 6'11", long wingspan, and he hit three threes as a big guy, which to me was interesting. The first time I got to see him play the USA USAP tryouts, and at the time, he was just shooting a lot of jump shots, and they were not coming anywhere close to the rim. They were left, right, long, short, you name it. And then fast forward a year and a half, last year at the Hoop Summit, he was knocking them down with consistency and a lot more of a consistent form. So even though he shoots a knuckleball, it does tend to go in, and he's definitely going to be a fun one to watch as the year progresses. I think for me, Michigan State, the concerns, I guess a few of them. One, they're outside shooting. Bridges and Jackson hit eight threes, but Langford and Winston went 1-for-7. Also, they do return everybody, but this is a team that went 10-8 in a the Big Ten, not the greatest conference in the world. So it might be a little premature to think that they're just going to take this big leap. I think they're going to take a leap, but how big is a question. And then finally, Tom Izzo is a great coach, but when he goes against the top teams outside of the Big Ten, I think just looking at his record against, say, UNC and Duke, he's 1-15. So, can Michigan State play against the more athletic and more skillful teams is kind of a few questions that I have regarding the Spartans this year.
Yeah, I think that they might struggle against some of the more athletic teams in the country. And, one of the teams I know we're going to talk about here is Kentucky. And that's a team that is uber athletic and young as their typical case is for a Kentucky team. And, I think it'd be really interesting to see a mature Kentucky team play Michigan State at some point to see how that looks, because I think Michigan State might struggle against some of those Kentucky freshmen who are just insanely athletic freaks.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that game. That was the second part of the doubleheader. Kansas was favored by 5 points. Definitely the more experienced team with Graham at point guard, Malik Newman, technically, you know, should be a junior, who was one of the top high school players a few years ago, playing in some of his first games after transferring from Mississippi State. And then, you had a lot of other upperclassmen, LeGerald Vick, et cetera, and you didn't really have any stud freshmen for Kansas, where Kentucky, it was the opposite. Everybody was a freshman, and then you had one or two sophomores. But what were kind of your thoughts? I know the game wasn't the most pleasing to watch, especially the second half, but what were some of your takeaways for this game?
Well, this was my first real watch of Knox, the freshman for Kentucky, and he looked great. I had this is the first time with really me just checking out his full skill set of hitting threes and taking it to the rim, and just that guy is got an NBA body already, and I almost think that he's in a similar category to Marvin Bagley, where I think this year of college basketball is kind of a waste for him. He could be in the NBA right now, frankly. I thought that it was interesting for UK that Wendell Carter and Sasha Killia Jones both got a fair amount of play yesterday, and they actually were both contributing fairly well to the Wildcats, which is not something you see from veterans with them, or even, I mean, you know, quote unquote veterans being sophomores, taking in and doing some good work for them. But Diallo looked great. I mean, I think that extra semester in college helped him the spring semester. We probably saw a million videos of him practicing over the summer in Chris Berkeley's league in New York. So we know Diallo was putting in the work. But even though Kentucky has had two close games and then a loss to Kansas, I'm semi-impressed with the Wildcats, because I think that they're going to end up being a tough team. With that much talent and with the way that Cal gets them ready, I see them being an Elite Eight team. For sure, and you know they could certainly make a good run. The SEC is going to be tougher this year, so I don't think that they're a runaway to win it. But they're a good team, and Knox was just to me was very very impressive. He was the guy that made the biggest impression on me from the Kansas and Kentucky game last night.
Okay, well, to me, I've got to see a lot of him, and I think his skill set is still improving. You know, I think Kentucky was an interesting choice for him just because he's not surrounded by a lot of shooters. But, you know, I'd say one of the biggest question marks for him coming in was his three-point shot. In high school, he kind of started out as a true power forward and had a really nice 12-foot jump shot to go with his crazy athleticism and wingspan, et cetera. But he was kind of able to improve his ball handling and improve his outside shot, especially his range, as kind of time went on. But last year as a senior, you know, he was probably taking 8 to 10 threes per game, and the shot would always look good coming off of his hand for the most part. But I know he shot under 30%. So for me, it was trying to see, you know, can he shoot the ball well from the three-point line? And he struggled his first two games, but in a big stage, knocked three of them in early on and eventually hit another one. So if he's able to add that and at the same time get a little more aggressive in terms of taking the ball to the basket, I don't see why he couldn't join the conversation for top American in terms of Bagley, Porter, Ayton, and some people have Bamba in there, just given given his size and skill set for a wing. So to me, he's been kind of improving each year, and he still has a ways to go, but just given his skill set and how the NBA is right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he might be in that conversation down the road. I guess a few other thoughts, you know, for me, Kansas, it was nice to see Malik Newman come out. He was kind of in purgatory after being one of the most electric scorers in high school. He was kind of in purgatory in Mississippi State and Starkville and Ben Hallen's offense. So it was nice to see him on a big stage. And, you know, he hit a few big shots and finished, you know, finished with 12 points. But I think it'll be fun to watch him as he grows on the big stage. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Kentucky does. I think they might have trouble if they match up with an experienced team that can shoot, just given their lack of potential shooting and, you know, their guard play. Definitely not as strong as last year with Monk and Fox, but yeah, still a ton of talent, a lot of five stars and athletes on the floor.
Yeah, Harpy, just to play on Malik Newman, it was definitely nice to see him play. That he's a classic case of a guy who went to Mississippi State and just wasn't a good fit, and it was a bad situation, and he might be someone that maybe Marcus Bolden should look to as a guy where I think his inner circle recommended that he go to Michigan or Mississippi State, and it didn't pan out. And yesterday's game seemed more natural for Malik Newman to be in a Kansas uniform and to be scoring. And I think we're going to see him emerge on Kansas's team. You know, I'm a fan of Devonta Graham. I'm always a fan of the senior leader and the guy that takes them, you know, that can be like the emotional leader of the team as well. But I'm excited to see Newman on the team. But you know, Kansas overall, you know, they're an older team, and they, you know, I think that their experience is what got them that W yesterday. But I think it'll be interesting to see how they pan out in the rest of the year, because I'm not so sure what I think of them from a tourney perspective and, you know, and from an overall talent perspective, if they're really going to get it done. I think that the Big 12 this year is, you know, it's the Big 12. It's top heavy. It's got a couple of really good teams. And after that, it's the massive drop off and it's no different than other years in the Big 12 for me.
Right.
And then the whole Billy Preston thing is crazy.
I don't know how much I want to say, but I'm not surprised Preston is in trouble already. And I guess I can say I'm surprised that Kansas has not been named in any reports, but I could go on for a while about that. But speaking of Adidas schools, maybe just switch to you're a Louisville expert. They've only played one game so far, but talented team, some young guys. Obviously, you know, lost Patino, lost the coaching staff, and now you have David Padgett coaching. But just want to get your thoughts on Louisville, how they looked initially, and, you know, is VJ King going to step up, or what's going to happen this year with the Cardinals?
Yeah, Louisville's in a very unique situation, obviously, with what happened with Patino being ousted and the athletic director being ousted. But one of the big things to look at this year, I think, obviously, is VJ King and whether he's going to be that number one or number two guy. Right now, Deng Adel is taking on the role of the one, and I see Deng Adel being the clear leader of the team. The big thing that held VJ King back last year was that he wasn't a good defensive player in the mind of Rick Pitino. He was often lost on defense. He could never really keep up, and that's what kept him out. But you could always see that within the time that he got in games, that offensively he was overly talented and he was able to score at all three levels. So I do think he'll emerge this year. My only issue with VJ is if he can pick it up on the defensive end. And I don't think David Padgett is going to be as stringent as Rick Pitino was, so I think he's going to let some of these kids play. One of the observations I had from their first game against George Mason was that Padgett let freshman Jordan Awara and Darius Perry play a ton of minutes early and let them play in critical junctures of the game. Actually, frankly, if it wasn't for Jordan Awara hitting two threes in the second half, I'm not sure Louisville would have pulled it out. But in a Rick Pitino system, Yeah, there's a good chance early on those guys might have played 4 minutes apiece. So I do think that David Padgett's going to let BJ King kind of play through some of his mistakes, and he's going to let some of these freshman guys make a big impact. One of the freshmen that I've always been excited about for Louisville was Malik Williams, because the Cards haven't had too many five-star centers and power forwards come through in recent times. So I'm excited to see what Malik can do. He was kind of although he was a five-star guy, he wasn't huge on the AAU circuit. So he was,
yep.
He's still somewhat of an unknown. So I'm excited to see him play and make some waves for them. But it's a different vibe in Louisville now with David Padgett on the sidelines. You know, he's got a different style than Coach Pitino. He's not, you know, yelling at players every 20 seconds. He's, you know, even in their practices, they've got a different. It's a much more relaxed practice now. Pitino was famous for if a guy screwed up, they are hitting
the
treadmill and
he's getting yanked immediately.
Yeah, he's getting yanked immediately. I think Padgett's going to let him play, and he's going to be a little bit easier on them. So the outlook for Louisville, I think, is I can see they have a lot of talent. I can see them hitting an Elite Eight, Sweet 16. But, you know, there's just so much uncertainty around the program. I'm not sure if some of that stuff's going to creep in the back of these kids' minds and in the back of coaches' minds that's going to get them to a Final Four.
Champions Classic has passed us by. Are there any teams or players that you want to get an eye on or watch during a lot of these tournaments coming up? I know I was looking at the schedule. Two games kind of jumped out to me this weekend before the tournaments really kick into high gear. But one game is Virginia at BCU. I know the two teams play at Virginia a few years ago, but in-state schools going against each other, Virginia traveling to and playing at an A-10 school, which is rare, not to mention the different offensive and defensive philosophies of the two programs. So that's one game I'm excited to watch. And then another game is USC at Vandy. I got to see USC in a dogfight on Monday against North Dakota State. So they're going to need to pick it up going on the road to Vandy in one of the more hostile environments. But at least talent-wise, they're one of the most talented teams in the country with their junior and senior play, even right now without D'Anthony Melton, who's being held out with the NCAA FBI stuff. But those are two games I'm looking forward to and seeing how UVA and USC both do with a true road test early on. But is there anybody, either a team or a player, that you might be looking forward to watching over the next few days or week?
Yeah, there one team that I'm excited to watch is Seton Hall. Actually, I feel like Kevin Willard's finally got a Seton Hall team that can really make some noise. I've been kind of keying in on the Big East this year because I think that as a conference they have a legitimate chance of getting seven teams in the tourney. But I like their team. I like Angel Delgado. He was the leading rebounder in all college basketball last year. And one of the games I'm really looking forward to this year is they play Louisville in a non-conference game December 3rd, and it's going to be a good gauge for both teams, especially for Louisville, who has some talented bigs and Ray Spalding and Honest Mahmood, and going against a guy of Delgado's caliber, and also with a good player like Kadeem Carrington. I'm really excited for that game as an under the radar non-conference game. But Seton Hall has been a team I've been excited about for this year. I like the way they're put together, and I think that I think Kevin Willard is due for a breakout team. And also another team that I like is Xavier too. Trevon Blewett is another guy who I think should be considered not just for Big East Player of the Year, but probably National Player of the Year honors as well. They've got some good depth, and I'm also a big Chris Mack fan. I think that he's a underrated recruiter. He's gotten some good four-star guys to come over there and to help flank his team of veterans. So those are two teams I think that, you know, I'm going to keep my eye on during the year to see how they perform. And I have some fairly high expectations for both.
Okay, well, I will definitely be sure to check them out. I know I've enjoyed Seton Hall the past few years, especially their kind of style of play and a lot of the kids that they've been recruiting from that Northeast area. But I just want to kind of end this on one last question. So just given the state of college basketball, not really so much right now, but going back a few weeks and a month ago, the FBI report. So we just watched four of the top teams in the Champions Classic. Which team had the highest salary cap hit?
Say that last part one more time for me, Sean.
Which team had the highest salary? They're alleging Ryan Bowen got $100,000-$150,000. So, we're watching a lot of the top high school guys in the country. So which team's going into the luxury tax this year?
Oh boy. You know what? I really think that I think we'll have to throw that on Kansas. We'll stick keeping it with the D's.
Yeah, I'll go with that one as well. Although, I'm sure Trayvon Duval did not come cheaply one way or the other. But we can go on and on about the lovely world of college recruiting. But it was fun to finally watch some good high level basketball and a lot of talent. And looking forward to seeing how the Thanksgiving tournament shake out, especially the one up in Portland with the PK 80 tournament that they have going on. But we'll definitely have to do this again. I enjoyed having you and getting some of your thoughts on the games you watched, as well as the Big East, Big Ten, and Louisville. And I look forward to having you on again soon.
Hey, thanks, Sean. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Well, that wraps up episode 4 of the Sean Moe Hoops podcast. So far, 4 episodes are in the books, and hopefully each one has been getting a little better, but would love to ask any of the listeners to leave an iTunes review or just a rating. That would definitely help, and look forward to talking to you guys next week. Thanks.